Amen. Amen. Remember Sister Melinda's dad? Man. Amen, hon. Amen, sister. Amen, hon. Absolutely. We're praying the Lord to reach your daddy. Set it in the prayer room tonight. Amen. If one of our family... Brother Jerry, do you and Miss Charity have two handouts tonight? Or one? Okay. Would you give Brother Darrell, Miss Melinda, one of yours? Amen. All right. They still newlyweds. They sitting so close they can read one page tonight. Amen. You can tell folks been married 40 years. They sitting on the other ends of the pews. Amen. Don't worry. I'm gonna preach on the home for the years out. I'll get you sitting close back together. Amen. Okay, in your Bibles this evening. Turn with us in Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30. Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. And we'll stand on the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in the book of Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30. I want to read a verse concerning personal evangelism or soul winning. What does that mean? Simply means leading others to the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 11 and 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Help us now, Father, I pray, to be a blessing tonight. Help us, Lord, in the Scriptures. Help the teens out and back. Help each teachers below the things they need. I pray, Lord, you let us be a blessing to your people tonight. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to talk about, first of all, about the precepts of soul winning. The precepts. We've read this verse. Notice it's very impactful. He says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Then look in Psalms 126, if you'd turn to the left in your Bible, Psalms 126. And let's look in verses number 5 and 6, Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. They, and this is what we're missing, sow in tears, shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, we look at what the Lord Jesus has had to say in Acts 1, verse number 8, about the precepts of soul winning. Or the order of soul winning. He says, Acts 1, verse number 8, Jesus now has been on the cross. He's died. He's got out of the grave on the third day. He's walked around in this world as a witness for some days. He gets ready to leave. The last words he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now tonight, this is our Jerusalem, Bowden, Georgia, Carrollton, Georgia, Ranburn, Alabama, Anniston, Alabama. Wherever you live is your Jerusalem. It's your hometown. Christ wants us to be a witness in our hometown. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your Father. And I think a lot of times, no doubt, we have more effective evangelism in our lifestyle. But I believe that Jesus wants us to go a step further and know how to win people to the Lord. or how to present the gospel to lost people. Now, we've seen the precepts. Jesus said, go. Then he said something in John 4, if you would turn with us back over to the left in your Bible, John 4, and take a look at verse number 34, at the precepts of this personal soul winning. And here the Bible gives us a seed thought of what was on the mind of Christ. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. If you've ever went by and seen a cotton field, and when it's in full bloom, you'll notice it's gathering time. Well, Jesus said that the harvest is plenteous, but in one text of the parallel gospel, he says, but the laborers are few. Laborers are few. Now, tonight, the precepts of soul winning, but number two, the practice of soul winning. I want to show you what Jesus done. Jesus practiced soul winning. In John chapter number 3, not only would they go in the synagogues and he would teach, but he would do one-on-one evangelism. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's not going to come to Liberty Baptist Church. But if we could get everybody in our church involved in handing out tracts and in personal evangelism, we could reach many more people with the gospel going one-on-one out into our Jerusalems than we can just on 3 church services a week. And so here Christ teaches us something in his life personally. John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. He was as high as you could go in religion. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know, talking to Jesus, that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And now look what Jesus says. Jesus did not discuss with him about his religion. He got right to the point. And he says, he answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He had a question, and he presented the question to Jesus. Notice Jesus did not go into doctrine. He stayed at the point, and he said, except a man be born of water from his mother, physically, and of the Spirit, or the water of the Word and of the Spirit, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit, spirit. Look what he says in verse 7. He didn't mention him one thing about his denomination, didn't mention one thing to him about his religion. He said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a ruler of the Jews. But folks, let me tell you tonight, religion will let you die and go to hell in your sins. America has religion, but everybody don't have Jesus. The gospel said, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. Now, Nicodemus was a religious man. What did Jesus do? He went right and he says, listen, you must be born again. He met a woman at the well, and he practiced the same principle. Turn with me, if you would, to the next chapter, John 4, verse number 1. Talking about not only the precepts of soul winning, but the practice of soul winning. Jesus did it. John 4, verse number 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria that is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, being wearied with his journey, he sat on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, he started a conversation. Look what he says, give me to drink. His disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wast asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our well that drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to him, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now Jesus practiced personal evangelism. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers that ever followed Christ, he practiced the same principle. I won't go there for sake of time because I want to get on our handouts. But in Acts 16, he went to Philippi. He met some ladies holding a prayer service out by the river, and he won her to the Lord. He went on in the town of Philippi. He got through in jail. The Philippian jailer came in and he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, I'm glad somebody knowed what to tell him. Now, the Catholic Church would have said, go confess your sins to the Pope. The Bible don't say that. The Church of Christ has said, go get baptized. They didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind you, at the cross, Jesus, there, he didn't get the thief down and baptize him. Let me tell you something, honey. The only thing that gets us to heaven is the Lord Jesus. What's washes away our sins is the blood of Christ. So Paul and Silas, they practiced not religion, but they presented to them the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went home and even won his house to the Lord. They was baptized. And he even cleaned up Paul and Silas with the stripes that was upon their backs. So now there's the precepts. The Bible's laid it down. He said the fields are white, the laborers are few. Jesus participated, Paul participated. But thirdly, not only the precepts of soul winning and the practice of soul winning, but there's a portrait of soul winning. In Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26, and a lot of you folks won't know what I'm talking about tonight, but I do want to say this to clarify something. We find all the key ingredients in Acts 8 and 26 of a soul winner. And here it is Philip. Philip is made himself available for the Lord. There's a key ingredient here. It's the Spirit of God. We all know, according to John 6, verse 44, no man comes to the Father except the one I've sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. We know that a man cannot get saved unless the Spirit of God deals with that heart. And that's the end of the conversation. It takes the Spirit of God. But it also takes the Word of God, and it takes the people of God to present the truth to the sinner. And so here, look what happens. In this portrait now, we've talked about the precept where it's in the Bible. Then we've talked about the practice. But now the portrait. Here's a great picture. The Bible said in Acts 8, 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south to the way that goes toward Jerusalem, to Gaza, that's desert. He arose and he went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, she was religious. Or he was religious. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. He is reading Isaiah 53. Then, here it is, the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. Now watch this. Philip followed the Spirit, and it got him to the right person. When we hand out our tracts, we ought to be praying to God, God, put somebody in my path today that I can be a blessing to. God, use me today. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me in my workplace. Use me where I live. Use me where I shop. Use me to be a blessing. Now, watch this. The Spirit, he followed the Spirit, and it got him to the right person. God knows who to get you in contact with. God knows who's ready to get saved. Number two, notice this. Not only follow the Spirit, got him the right person, but he was familiar with the Scriptures and it gave him the right power. Now he said this in verse 35. The eunuch there was reading in verse 32. He was reading the Scripture. And he said let's just get back. I'm trying to hurry up and get too much tonight. Let's just go where it's at. Verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture that he read was this, "He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth." Then, verse 34, the eunuch answered, Philip said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet?" This, is he talking of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same Scripture, and look what he done. He didn't preach to him religion or denomination. He preached to him Jesus. Now, he followed the Spirit. It got him the right person. But he's familiar with the Spirit, with the Scriptures, that gave him the right power. And then thirdly and lastly, we'll notice in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?'" Now, if you've got an NIV, I don't think this verse is in your Bible, so you'll lose me right here. And y'all just throw it on the floor when you leave. Amen. "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered, said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Now, and then he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now watch this. Now, he ain't sprinkling nobody. Look up here. He ain't sprinkling nobody. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And what did they do? They went down both into the water, both Philip the eunuch, and he baptized him." Baptizo means to immerse. He went under the water. Now, that's the portrait. So winning. I want you to notice now, where I want to deal just a little bit, and we'll pull this hand out. Here's the preparation of soul winning. Remember he said, "How can I, lest some man should guide me?" Well, people need to know the truth in order to be saved. I want you to notice this. We need to pray much and be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we witness. In witnessing to anybody that we know, number one, you ought to pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to witness to them today. Remember, you can't shove salvation down anybody's throat. Be persuasive, but not argumentative. Don't get in discussion with them about denomination. As much as possible, use the Scriptures. Do not be distracted by questions about other doctrines. Now, if you want to turn somebody off real quick in soul winning, and they'll tell you, "Now, I was raised the Church of Christ, and I've got no beans about it." I mean, I'll tell you, the doctrine's wrong. You don't go to heaven by water. They taught me be baptized. I got no issues telling you tonight that that's falsehood. You hear me? That water don't get you to heaven. Christ gets you to heaven. But if I run into a Church of Christ boy and I say, "Listen, your denomination's wrong," I've just turned him off. I've just turned him off because that's all he knows. And it's no use in getting a confrontation with somebody over doctrine. But I want you to remember this. Do not be distracted by questions about other doctrine. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Today I was here using the copier. We was out of toner. So I called a young man from the office equipment. He came down and he got ready to go. And I just gave him one of our church tracts. And so now I want everybody to take that church tract that was handed to you tonight. And you know what I did when the young man come in? Brother Tim, I didn't get him in a headlock. And I didn't force this in and say, you know, boy, you better get saved or you're going to go to hell. Now, that'd been truth. But I'm not sure how he would have accepted it. But this is what we do with tracts, and this is what you need to learn to do. When you hand somebody a tract, it's simply this. If you don't have a church home, come see us sometime. I'd love to have you there. Well, who knows what the Spirit of God may do right there when you just did that. You've got to be sensitive. What if they asked you a question? Well, you know, I've been wondering about where I'd go when I die. How do I get saved? Do you know how to tell them? Maybe they simply say, well, I'll do that. Great. Say, hey, we'd love to have you at our church. Come see us Sunday. But you may have somebody to get home and call you and say, you know what? I've been reading this tract and I'd like to know something about it. Let's open it up and let's get familiar with our church tract. Everybody's got one tonight. This is one of the biggest questions that you'll always hear about anybody. I was witnessing to my uncle a couple of weeks ago before Christmas. And a religious man, a good man. And I asked him, he's 80 years old, before I left. I said, I want to ask you something. Are you right with the Lord? Are you ready to meet God? And I'm going to tell you one of the hardest things, and I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you one of the hardest things that you'll experience. Talking to somebody about the Lord in your family is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. You can talk to a rank stranger quicker than you can your mom and daddy or your brother and sister. So don't let the devil use that on you. That's just the way things are. But this is what he told me. You know what he told me? He said, Ken, I've not done much bad. And you're going to hear that a lot. Ken, I've never run around on my wife. I've never drunk none. That's what he said. I've said a few cuss words, Ken, but I'm a pretty good man. And you know what? He's right. He's a pretty good fella. But we know in Romans 3 and 10 it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody going to heaven on their own merit. That's the Bible. Well, number two, who has sinned? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I want to ask you something then. Where did sin come from? Well, we know it came from the garden with Adam and Eve. For as by one man sin entered into the world, he's talking about Adam, and death by sin. He told Adam, he said, the day that you touch the fruit of the tree, you're going to die. And you'll notice in the genealogy in a chapter not long after that, and Adam died. You know what? The Word of God's still right tonight. Everybody's going to die. And so we can run this all the way back to our forefathers. You want to know how far your family tree goes? It goes to Romans 5:12. Everybody in the building goes to the garden. Your ancestor run it far back as you want to. It hooks us to the garden. We have a depraved nature. That's why when we're saved, we still want to do wrong. That's why it's in us to do wrong. You ever been saved and hit your thumb and let something slip? Come on now, look up. Let's have church tonight. Let's don't play religion. Let's be real. Anybody ever made you mad and you said something ugly? Well, sure you have. You know why? Because you're human. We've got a nature in us to do bad. Now, ain't you glad that God's paid a price for sin? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, look, is eternal life. And He tells us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is our way out, Romans 5 and 8. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad? As wicked as we was, He loved us enough to die for us. Then somebody would say, well, okay, I want to be saved. How do I get saved? Well, I want to tell you what the Bible says. Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's a lot of times the reason when people make a profession of faith. Miss Ava, she made a profession of faith in the hospital. That's why I gave her a mic at the church service when she got here, and I said, tell the church what happened. I got saved. When Miss Emily got saved the other day, gave her a church mic, what happened to you? You see this? Confession unto salvation. We ought to proclaim it off the housetop, not be ashamed in whom we believe. And so with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Then you'll hear this a lot. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died for everybody. Amen. Matthew 11. A lot of people will say, well, if I come to Christ, will He save me? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. John 6:37, all that the Father that giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm glad when a sinner comes to him, he will accept him by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace, not of works, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now you listen to me. If I could work my way into heaven tonight, I could work my way out of heaven. But I've not worked my way in. I got saved by the grace of God. What is that? I simply believe by faith of the grace of God, of what He done for me on a cross, that He took my sins, and I believed in that. I had an experience with Him, and it's good enough. It's what's going to get me to heaven, not by work. Works come after you get saved. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith, not yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it's a short letter on the back. It has our services, our internet on the back, our church phone, our address. You can simply give these out. Now, watch the handout. And I want to get to something that you may always hear. And I want to go to the back page right quick under answers to different problems people may bring up. And I'm going to share with you several times what I've heard. First of all, they may ask you, how can I know that the Lord will save me? How can I know if the Lord will save me? Well, you ought to take your Bible and you ought to underline in it. Go to 1 Timothy 1:15. The Word of God is true. So how can I know the Lord will save me? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now if He saved the chief of sinners, He'll save all the Indians. If He'll save the biggest sinner, let me know He can save the least sinner. So you'll hear this. How can I know if the Lord will save me? Then how do I know if the Lord's dealing with me or not? All right, let me ask you this. Simply say this. Do you want to be saved? Oh, I want to be saved bad. Well, how do I know the Lord's dealing with me? Well, isn't it funny? Nobody else coming up down the highway is wanting to get saved, but you wanting to get saved. Well, that means the Spirit of God's dealing with you. Amen. Number three, I don't want to labor there, but I can tell you this, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. Then number three, I've heard this so much, I'm too wicked for God to save me. There was a man, and matter of fact, he wouldn't mind me telling it, but he's a member of our church, a great guy, this old country guy, and he come to chapel. And did one of the most amazing things. God got to dealing with some men at work had given him a track. And God got to dealing with him. Well, they called me and said, preacher, there's a man at work. He'd like to talk with you when he gets off today. I said, well, have him meet me at the chapel. So I walked in. He sat down, just me and him. He was sort of nervous. He was looking out in the yard. And this is what he said. I'll never forget what he said. He said, preacher, I've made a lot of liquor. Will God save me? I said, yep. He said, I want to ask you something else. He said, I've not only made a bunch of liquor, I've drunk a bunch of it. Will He save me? I said, he sure will. And you know what he done? He said, I'm ready, preacher. And he got saved. And you know, he's one of the most faithful men in this ministry. It wasn't but about 3 weeks his wife got saved. Now, I said all that to say this. Look at this handout. Am I too wicked for God to save me? Well, in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And listen to me, church. That's where churches get so big shoddy and highfalutin when the down and outers come in. We better realize something. That's why Christ came and died. He didn't die for religion. He came to save sinners. And I don't know if y'all found this out or not, but I found it out. Sin will let you get real low, neighbor. Real low. It'll make you get to smelling bad. And so when they come in our church, what we ought to do is shout, hallelujah. Thank God there's somebody here that's a candidate for the gospel. Thank God we ain't eat up in religion tonight. I'd turn every pew over in the house before we got religious. Religion's killed Baptist churches. We better realize Jesus is in the sinner business. Amen. And he cures the sin business. So now, can God forgive me of all my sinful past? Oh, I sure am glad he can. I mean, every bit of it. Look in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1 and verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. And watch this, and washed us from our sins, plural, in his own blood. Washed. One time, I'm glad they gone tonight. And look how they is washed in his blood. Not in the water. Folks, let me tell you, if that water would wash the sin off us, I'm afraid the drain wouldn't be big enough for some of us. But my sins wouldn't go through a hole. But ain't you glad that the blood of Jesus took our sin away for us? Everything I ever done, the day I looked at Calvary and said, Christ, Lord, I believe in you. I want to be saved. And when I come to him and took that first step by faith and said, Lord, save me. Every sin I ever done, every sin I'd ever be committed, he washed them away by the blood of the Lamb. And hallelujah, I've never got over it. I smoked enough dope you couldn't haul it in a pickup truck. But let me tell you something. I'm glad every time, every one I rolled. I'm glad every bad word I said. I'm glad every bad place I went. The day I called on my Savior, his blood washed me clean. Hallelujah. And I've never forgot the day. And I'm glad he saves those sinners. Can God forgive me? He sure can. If you want him to, and he will. Then look, you may hear, well, I've tried, or I'm trying to be saved, but God will not save me. Remind them that salvation is not in trying, but trusting. Titus 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Notice it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Remind them now about trusting. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Here it is. that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's not in trying to be saved. It's in trusting to be saved. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. Just as plain as I know how to ask you. I was raised in one of the most solid, one of the best families that a man could ever be brought up in. And I mean it with all my heart. I'm telling you the way it was. I got in the wrong crowd. And I got to doing things that I'm not proud of tonight. But just because my mom and daddy went to church and they were settled on what they believed, that didn't mean that I was going to heaven. Just because I walk into Burger King, that don't make me a hamburger. There's got to be a place and a time that the Holy Spirit has smote your heart, convicted you of your sin, and convinced you that you're a sinner. Now let me tell you something about soul winning tonight in these tracks. You don't jump out at a red light at Walmart and see a boy running down the road. And you don't run and say, "Hey boy, you want to go to heaven?" Yeah. Say this prayer after me. Well, if their heart's not ready to receive Christ, they can't be saved. But if you see some brokenness and some genuine repentance and some wanting Christ, they can be. This is not trickery. Listen, there is a man that teaches doctrine in another state, taught many preachers. Their tactics are hyper soul winning. In other words, they'll have all their people go out and try to get professions of faith. And you know what they do on Wednesday night? They say, "Okay, how many professions of faith did you get this week?" I've run revivals at them. I mean, I'm sitting there looking like I can't believe what's going on here. Want to stand up and say, "I won 13. I won 43. I won 17. I won 7. Praise the Lord. We had 95 professions this week." Okay, well, where are they at? When you got saved, you know what you do? You come to church. When I got saved, nobody had to tell me when church started. I come to church. This is not trickery. This is the gospel. Hand them the gospel. Love on them. You may be surprised a man put this in his shirt pocket. Go down the road and read it when he gets by himself. The Spirit of God go to dealing with him. Come in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church Sunday morning and get gloriously saved. I believe this about people. I believe God will send people to church to hear preaching. And they thought they was pretty good. And I'm telling you, I've seen over 100. I've seen more than that. I'm going to say that I've seen hundreds. Come in, thought they was fine, made a little profession when they was young. They thought they was pretty good, but when they heard the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicted them and convinced them that they wouldn't go into heaven without Jesus and they'd get gloriously saved. Thank God for it. We can't pressure nobody into being saved. We can't make this happen. But Jesus teaches us, He gives us the example that we can tell people how to be saved. And you know, tonight, if you're not saved, I want to say this. The devil, this is what he used to tell me, "What will people think?" I tell you what these people think. They'll think, "Glory, hallelujah, I'm glad you got it settled." And then the devil will say this, "You got tomorrow." You may not have tomorrow. So, how can I really know that Christ died for me? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad He died for everybody. You hear me tonight? Anybody on the sound of my voice dies and goes to hell, you'll go as an intruder because you didn't trust Christ. Now, what do I have to do to be saved? You'll hear that a lot. What do I have to do to be saved? Well, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says it's not of works. We're saved by grace through faith. What is that? What is that? Okay. Underline this and know it. What do I have to do to be saved? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. What is it? Grace is what Christ has done for me and you on the cross. And faith is what He's given to us that we may access that grace and believe in Him and be gloriously saved by faith. Saved by grace through faith. Do you understand that tonight? Saved by grace through faith. Now, you'll notice on the first page, and I don't have time to go there, and I'm going to try to, but here you'll see the Romans Road. That's in our church tract mainly. Romans Road, that's a good piece of material to have in the back of your Bible. If you're dealing, you know, this is something too, Mom and Daddy. You may have some of your young children come to you at bedtime and say, listen, God's knocking on my heart. Well, you know what? It would be fine for you to pull this out and start 1 through 7 and read this to them. And say, listen, do you understand you're a sinner? Do you understand that? Do you understand you're a sinner? Number 2, do you understand that Christ died for your sins? And number 3, are you willing to put your faith in what He's done for you that would settle it for all eternity? Yes, I would. Then bow your head and ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and live for Him. That's Bible salvation, people. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'll close. There's also some scriptures here dealing with people at the church altar. Our church is getting slack on this. I've noticed this. Sometimes when a lady comes to the altar and pray, there ought to be several ladies get up and go pray. This church is not going to become so formal. When one comes to pray, somebody's wondering what they're praying about. We better realize that we need each other's prayers. Now, this is what I do with children, and this is what I want you to always remember. When your child comes to this altar, I'm not there to try to get a profession of faith out of them. This church is not involved on gimmicks, games, and gadgets. We're not here trying to count numbers. That's God's business. Do you hear me? I can't save nobody. All I can do is preach it right. When your child comes to the altar, this is the first thing I ask them. What are you here for? What you need? You know what I've heard? I've heard I'm praying for my grandmother. I know some preachers that try to trick them into saying something. Well, hon, what you need? They'll tell you. Preacher, I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. I say, well, did you know that Christ died for you? Yes. Do you know that you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell without Christ? Yes. Do you want to be saved? Yes. Then ask God to save you. And in their own way, they say their prayer. And when they get up, I simply say this, did God save you? I'm not going to talk you or them or nobody else into nothing. Did God say, yes, preacher. Well, glory, hallelujah, it's running, shouting time. The Bible said in Luke 15, there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. And we ought to get tore up about it. Amen. When you deal with people at the altar, you ladies, when a woman comes down to pray and you notice they're really trouble, you ought to ask them, are you okay with your salvation? If they say no, deal with them in a gospel way. Well, do you realize you're a sinner? Yes. Do you know Christ died for you? Yes. Do you want to be saved? Yes. Call upon Him to save you. that simple. Maybe they're there just praying and you see that they're just not really that emotional about things. Just pray for them and politely go back to your seat. Men, the same thing. I know of churches right now tonight, if I got up and they give an invitation and went down to pray, number one, I'd be there by myself. And number two, they'd be saying, well, I wonder what they've done. Well, I wonder what them bunch of religious Pharisees have done. Miss Sherry, you come tonight. Would you play something for me just softly? I'm glad Christ died for us. You know, I could not encourage you enough to try to be a light. I couldn't encourage you enough to hand out tracts. I remember at the first church I pastored, we had a crossroad. I'd get all the youth together. Highway 9 and 431 below Heflin, Saturday, we'd all get the youth out. You know what people do? They'd roll down the window. First thing they'd do, they'd hand a dollar bill out the window and say, we're not raising money. We want to give you something from our church. They'd say, well, thank you. I think one Saturday morning we handed out nearly 400 tracts just in that intersection. Wonder what God done with that down the road. You'll never know what God will do with this. You know, you say, well, preacher, I'm not an outgoing person. Well, let me tell you all you've got to do. All you've got to do is simply say, I want to leave you that for my church. Invite you to come. If they stop and ask you something, deal with them. If you feel God nudging you about it, deal with them. It don't hurt to hand out the gospel. We've got a lot of tracts. I think Jesus practiced it. Paul practiced it. I want to ask you this question tonight as Miss Sherry plays. You may be here and you've never been saved. I'm going to tell you, Christ died for you according to the Scriptures. This Bible says He's coming back. This Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm going to die, and I'm going to meet God. And the only way it's going to get me to heaven is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, would it be one here that's never been saved, but you want to be saved? Then I want to urge you to step out in that aisle and come to the altar tonight. It'd be men, it'd be women that'd pray with you. I want to give you this time right now. Maybe you're tired of fighting. Maybe you realize on a Wednesday night, preacher, I've never been saved, but I want to be, and I want to trust Christ tonight to be my Savior. Would you take that eternal step from wherever you are, whoever you are? Don't care who you are or where you are or what you've done. Jesus would save you tonight if you'd come. Would you just simply step out and come to Him, bow on an old-fashioned altar and call upon Him? To you tonight, would you come? Our sister plays, give you time.